privilege to be able to continue Pastor Blair's series on the book of James. So therefore, I'll be in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. There's an outline in your bulletin of where we're going. And we're going to look at HD Faith's Show Your Faith by Your Wise Actions. By Your Wise Actions. I'm sure that you know for sure that one bad decision can ruin your life forever. You probably know of people who've done that. Maybe you've done that yourself. You've made a bad decision and it has ruined your life or caused great distress within your life. And that's what we have to be careful of as we live life, is that we make right decisions, that we make wise actions that display who we really are. And that's what this section of the Word of God teaches us, is it teaches us that we can show, or we should show, our faith by the actions that we do. And so this is the focus that we want to have today, as we want to look at first a question and answer, and then we're going to have an evaluation question, and then another evaluation question, and finally the conclusion of the statement of where we're going to end up. As we know that the Apostle Paul, he made some bad decisions. He killed Christians at one time in his life. We know that David made bad decisions in the idea that he called for Bathsheba. We know that Achan made a bad decision in that he took of the booty and he wasn't supposed to do that. Each and every one of these individuals, and many, many more, I'm sure, regret the idea of making a bad decision. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is the basis of how we make our decisions? What are the foundation principles to which we believe are very important within our life so that we can make right decisions? Certainly, I believe there is some foundation principles, even if you make wrong decisions, but we really don't want to do that, I don't think. Many times our anger, you've heard of people in fits of rage, and when they were angry for one moment, they made a bad decision. People involved in jealousy and selfish ambition, seeking their own direction of life, make a bad decision and ruin things for themselves, and may I say, for others. Those of you who know me well know that I'm very kind, gentle, a very congenial individual. So I never say anything real forceful or negative or anything. But I do have a statement that I'd like to start off this message with that I want you to listen to because it's important. But the fact is that by the time we get to the end, I think you'll understand exactly what we're talking about, and you won't see the negativity of it as much as you will by the statement. But the question that we want to ask ourselves is, does your behavior come from heaven or come from hell? Now, I realize that's a pretty strong statement, but I believe you'll see it with great clarity as we work our way through this passage, that you'll be able to see that that's exactly what the Bible says. When you do certain things in a certain way, they come from a certain place. When you do things in a certain way and a certain thought process and a certain direction, those things come from a place. And I think the Bible helps us to see that. Just listen as I read what Proverbs has to say, and then we'll get into the lesson. But Proverbs 4, 20 through 23 says this: "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Let's look in our word at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James 3, 13 through 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Here we see at the beginning of first a question, and the author, James, tells us, who among you is wise and understanding? That's the first question that he asks us, and the first thing I thought of is that to display that wonderful idea that the Bible's speaking about, I could put a microphone in the center aisle right here, and I could say, all of us who are so wise and all of us who are full of understanding, we can just line up and come down to the microphone, and we can tell everybody how smart we are. We can tell everybody what kind of wisdom we have. We can tell everybody how wonderful of a person I am. The truth is, and Dave Cass would be first, by the way, because he'd just tell you how wonderful he is. But the truth is, isn't that usually the way we would describe a wise and understanding person? Is they would come forward and just tell you how wonderful they are, how wise they are. You've probably met those kind of people that are just always have an answer for everything. They're just so wise. I don't care about what subject you talk about, they have an answer. They have something to chime in. But you know, that is not really what the Bible is saying, and that is not the way to look at that. The Bible says if you are wise and you are understanding, then with the rest of the verse, we begin to define this kind of wisdom and this kind of understanding. And it says, if you are wise and if you are understanding, then you need to show it from good behavior by your deeds in gentleness of wisdom. Now we have an evaluation point upon this principle that the Bible says, if you are wise and you are understanding, then the way that you show that, the way that you show that to everybody around is not to tell everybody how wonderful you are, but it's to be doing, it's to be following through with what's in your wisdom and your understanding in good deeds so that everybody can see it. So that you don't have to get up in front of a group of people like this on a microphone and say, look at how wise I am and look at how wonderful I am. But you just live this way to be able to show others of what kind of person you really are. The question is actually answered in that same verse by telling you who is a wise person and who is an understanding person. We kind of get that messed up sometime, don't we? You realize from Pastor Blair's earlier messages that the wisdom that we're talking about in the book of James is not wisdom to be smart, but it's wisdom in the fact that you are skilled in applying biblical truth in practical ways in everyday living of your life. It's taken the stories of the Bible, and it's taken the principles of the Bible, and it's taken the directions of the Bible, and it's applying them to your life where you are at. It's applying them to the problems, the difficulties, the situations in your life. It's saying the first time that the problem comes into your life, whatever it might be, is what does the Bible say about that? What is a story that I can relate to? How can one of the characters in the Bible help me? What are some instructions within the Word of God that can help me to get through this situation? It's practical living God's truth on a day-to-day basis Which actually means when we do that, we are going to have a more consistent life, because life is always based on the same principles. It's the Word of God. It's where I am getting my information from and where I will go to get my information. And so life becomes more consistent because the standard never changes. The standard is always the same. It's practical wisdom so that you and I can live a life of godliness. Notice that it says in this verse, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Then let him show." Our life should be on display for everybody who sees us so that they know whom we represent in the life that we live. So often we have to tell people how wonderful we are, don't we? We use our lips and descriptive words to tell people how wonderful and how wise I am. But this says we should put it on display. We don't have to tell people who we are if our life is reflecting by our actions the person whom we're serving. It says we should put it on display by doing what? By our good behavior, which is where we get this idea of the actions. We're showing our faith by our actions, by our faith, by our good deeds or our good works. That's what the Bible is saying. And then it says, in the gentleness of wisdom. The gentleness of wisdom, this idea of gentleness gives the same idea or is used in the same way of a horse that is being brought for the first time to learn how to use a bit and bridle within its mouth. It's being broken. It's being trained so that now the horse is no longer going to be under their own control, but the horse is going to be under the control of that bit and bridle. And so now there's an outside source coming into the horse so that the horse will behave differently because of that outside source, the bit and bridle. The bit and bridle will be controlling the horse. The horse is broken. And you know, I think that's a good picture of what you and I need as we live life, is you and I need an outside source in our lives also. We need somebody else to control us, because we, left to ourselves, are out of control. The Bible says very clearly, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none that seeks after God. The Bible says we're a wayward person without something controlling us. And may I say, I would appreciate the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who needs to come into our life. And the Holy Spirit needs to one who can, needs to break us and to control us, so that we can have someone controlling us other than ourselves. You know, the idea of gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. If we are to be doing our good works in the gentleness of wisdom, then we need to have the gentleness by being part of our life, which I believe to be the Holy Spirit. The wisdom that we need is not only needs to be gentle, but I believe the wisdom comes from Christ also. If we have the Holy Spirit, we know Jesus Christ. Therefore, if Jesus Christ is in our life, we have that gentleness of spirit because it comes from Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. One other one in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but by his doing you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The wisdom of God is spoken of in the Scriptures as coming from Christ. And so we have Christ in our life, we have the Holy Spirit in our life, and therefore we can live the life that God wants us to live. The beginning of wisdom is to acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, you need to get understanding, according to Proverbs 4:7. I believe wisdom produces meekness or humility, and humility increases your wisdom. I think that can be a true statement. Wisdom should shine in all areas of life. If you are wise and understanding, you're handling life properly with the principles and the guidance and direction of the Word of God. Many times, actions speak louder than any wise man can say. And so our actions need to be that of which exemplify whom we're serving. And that's exactly what this says. Who among you is wise and understanding? If you think you're wise and understanding, then show it by the good behavior of your deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Now, we have two evaluation questions. Yes, that's more of a statement or a question with an answer. There's no way that you can get around that because the Bible states the truth and the truth is there for all to see. Now it says, okay, let's evaluate this one step further. Let's find out what kind of actions you really do have in your life. And so it begins with 14 through 16 with our first evaluation question. Verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. But if you have jealousy and selfish ambition, and notice where it comes from, in your heart. The Bible is saying, okay, let's start evaluating this thing of where my life is at and where I'm involved in the actions that I'm living. And first of all, do I look forward or do I have as a priority jealousy? That really means like you can just step on people to get ahead, okay? That's what that means. And selfish ambition, it's all about me. I'm the number one. I'm the most important. But notice also where it comes from. In your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. These things come from the heart. It's who you are on the inside. Our pastor once again has said that very clearly. It comes from the heart. Jesus even taught about that. In Matthew 15, 19, he says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemes, and so forth. It says in Luke 6, 45, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. An evil man, may I say woman, brings out evil treasure of his heart because his heart is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, that's pretty clear. You didn't need a theological degree to understand what Jesus was teaching. It's saying out of your heart proceeds stuff that comes on the outside, of actions that you do on the outside. Therefore, if the Bible says that this wisdom that you have needs to be brought out and shown to everybody in the proper sense, but if you have negative things coming out of your heart in the actions that you're doing and the way that you're living, then you need to evaluate yourself and say, hold it, is that according to the truth or against the truth to which I know? And of course, the truth is the Word of God. There's no question about that. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another more important than yourselves. Please don't lie against the truth and try to convince yourself that you are living right when you're living contrary to the Word of God. Don't lie against the truth because God's Word tells you what you're supposed to be doing, tells you how you're to act, tells you how to live. And if you're living contrary to that, you're lying against the truth. And plus, may I say, I believe also not only God's Word, you're lying against God's Word, but you're lying against your own conscience. I've done enough wrong in my life to know that I've done wrong knowing I've done wrong. You can't deny that. I'm not proud of that. But I know when I've done wrong. I just love these excuses where it says, well, I didn't know it was wrong. 9 times out of 10, we know it was wrong. We have a standard of living brought about from, if you don't have the Word of God, from at least your good family line or your grandma or grandpa or somebody taught you this idea, and you have a foundation of principles of which you live by. So therefore, don't lie against the truth. When there is jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, and you're living that way, then don't lie against the truth. You need something to help you, something to get you squared away, something to put you back on track. Notice with me in verse 15. This is still the evaluation question number one. This wisdom, in other words, this way of living, okay? We're talking about wisdom as the way of practical living in everyday life. This wisdom that we just saw in verse 14, jealousy and selfish ambition, this wisdom which is not that which comes down from above. This wisdom doesn't come from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. Now, this is what I was getting at the beginning, is that the Bible paints a picture of what comes from above and what comes from beneath. And this is the illustration that the Bible begins to say, listen, if you have this kind of a lifestyle, if you are living in this fashion, this is not from above. It is earthly, natural, demonic. Now, that's not too pleasurable, is it? Did you ever think, or did you ever cross your mind? I don't think about it that much, that if I live in an ungodly fashion, that I'm really allowing demonic forces and the devil to have his way with me. Or do we look at it as just a mistake or whatever? No, this is giving opportunity to the devil, which we should not be doing. So we need to evaluate our behavior upon the principles of the Word of God so we know what does come from above compared to beneath. Now notice with me for a minute, this is kind of like a downward spiral here because it mentions three different things in verse 15. It mentions three different things because it starts with, it is earthly. Earthly means that it has its origin in the world, it partakes of the world spirit, and it is governed by worldly sayings and worldly principles. That's what this is talking about. The first downward spiral is to ask yourself, or the first step to a downward spiral is to ask yourself, what are you living for? Are you living for this earth and this world and these things that are in the world? Are you living for heaven and the things of heaven? Who are you living for? If you're living for earthly things just to get everything the earth has to offer, then there's something wrong with the way you're living and the behavior of which you have. Second of all, it says it's natural. Now, this is one step further in the sense that earthly talked about the earth we live in. The natural talks about the sensual idea of who we are, what we want to do. It's our intellectual and moral nature on the inside of us. It's what we want because we want it, because it's going to make us happy. So we're living for the world, this earthly. We are also living for ourselves because we want to satisfy our sensual appetites and propensities within our life. And then last of all, and I don't think it needs much defining, it is demonic. It means that these are kind of lifestyles that the demons themselves live. That's pretty scary. That's earth-shaking in my thinking. You know, there are other verses in the Bible that talk about the fact where we can give place to the devil if we live in improper ways. One is Ephesians 4:25-27. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak each one of you truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil opportunity. So there's another illustration where it says, if we go to bed angry And we don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. That's what we're talking about. So if you go to bed with harboring anger within your heart, you're giving the devil an opportunity that he shouldn't have. There's another one in 1 Corinthians 3:3 that says, "For you are still fleshly." Fleshly, living in the world, living by earthly, natural, demonic principles. "For you are fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men?" We should be walking by the Spirit of God, not by like mere men. If we call ourselves Christians and we know Christ as our Savior, then we should be walking in the Spirit and not like mere men. We should be different. Are we different? The Bible is evaluating our lives and saying, where are you at? It's not trying to be condemning. It's trying to be helpful and tell us how to live for God's honor and God's glory. This earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom is not from above. And then last of all, verse 16, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing." It's very distressing, but yet we need to put the cookies on the bottom shelf, and we need to acknowledge the fact that when we have problems within our life, it is called sin. Jesus Christ has corrected that problem by dying on the cross for our sin. He's borne our sin, he carries our sin, he wants our sin. And when we're living in any kind of situation to where sin is reigning in our bodies, then I guarantee you that Christ is not. And we need to come to the point with the evaluation of our lives and say, if my wise actions are not a product of wise understanding of the Word of God, then I need to change. I need to grow. Lord, it is no longer I, but it's sin that dwells in me. And we need to face that fact. And that's okay. God knows that we're sinners. God knows we need help. God knows if we're not living right, he wants to help us. And you know what? He's overjoyed when we can actually acknowledge who we are and what we're all about. He's not going to disown us, or he's not going to get mad at us. He wants to help us. That's exactly why he did shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. So we had a question and an answer. Now we had the first evaluation question of saying, where are you at in this whole thing of life? If you're living in this way, then you are not living for the honor and glory of God. But now we have evaluation question number 2, and it's in verse 17. Evaluation question number 2 in verse 17. "But the wisdom from above." Now see, this is that break that the Bible made very clear. They told us that the Bible told us that there is wisdom from above and there is wisdom from beneath. We can have wisdom and we can have understanding, but where does it come from? In verse 17, it says, "But the wisdom from above." Now we're going to have a description. This is why it's an evaluation question number 2, because evaluation question number 1 said these are from beneath, but evaluation question number 2 says these are from above. And the first principle from wisdom from above is pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. Now, once again, that's a good point of evaluating. It says, if you are living in this life for my honor and glory, the Lord says, then are you living, first of all, a pure life, which doesn't mean sexual purity. It means an attitude of no sinful motives or no sinful desires within your life as you live. In other words, just like we saw earlier, we saw it was jealousy and selfish ambition. I'm going to get ahead no matter what. I'm going to step on anybody I want to step on. But this wisdom is pure, meaning that you are pure of all these motives and attitudes that would be improper. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding, Proverbs 2:6 tells us. It's pure because it comes from God. Our desire is to please him. Our desire is to do what is right for his honor and his glory. It's pure, then it is peaceable. We make peace instead of create disharmony. It's gentle. We go back to what we talked about earlier. We are strength under control. It's reasonable. You're able to look at situations or people and be reasonable within this thing. Full of mercy. Do you give people mercy and grace? Full of good fruits. What kind of fruit are you bearing? Unwavering. I'm going to stand for the word of God, and I'm going to stand for the word of God no matter what. I'm going to be unwavering, even if the whole society is wavering. And then it's without hypocrisy. It's not two-faced. When you're with me, you're one kind of person, and when you're with somebody else, you're another kind of person. Or you treat people differently depending on their position in life. It's without hypocrisy. You treat and love everybody the same. This is the kind of wisdom that's from above. It's innocent. It's peace-loving. In contrast to the bitter spirit and competitiveness of those who are living by the flesh. Proverbs 4, 8 and 9 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good repute, if there is any excellence," and may I say there is, "and if anything worthy of praise," and may I say, yes, there is, "dwell on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." This wisdom that's from God is marvelous. This wisdom from God helps us to live in a way that is so much more pleasing to him. It's so much more gentler on our body. It handles difficulties in life in a greater way. It's living life without the stress and the problems of trying to win the argument for myself, as it were. Without hypocrisy means that it needs to be sincere. And, you know, are we sincere in the life that we live? And sincere to the relationship that we have with our Savior and our God and the one who loved us and gave himself for us? Well, we had two evaluation questions, pretty tough in my estimation, but yet at the same time, it's good to think about those things. But now there's a conclusion statement. Just like we had a declarative sentence at the beginning of evaluating what kind of life we live, but now here's the answer to the question in verse 18. Or it's a conclusion statement saying this is what we should be doing. Verse 18 says, "And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." I've lived in the country now since 89. I grew up in Cleveland, big city, but I love living in the country. I've got to ride in combines and tractors and plant seeds, and I love it. I love watching the stuff grow. You know, every farmer that I know of takes a seed and wants to put it in the ground because it's going to grow into something bigger and better. And you know, if we want to sow this kind of behavior within our life, then we need to plant the proper seeds within our life. We need to put the seed whose fruit is righteousness. The product of this kind of behavior is righteousness. We plant the seed and we sow it in peace, and we're going to make peace, and our life will be much better. The pressures of life and the difficulties of life become less because of doing things properly in the way that God wants us to do. The way of the transgressor is hard. But the one who lives for the honor and glory of the Lord, even in the midst of difficulty, can live at greater peace than anybody else. This wisdom comes from heaven. It's a marvelous place to think, where do you want to be getting the wisdom for your life to live day in and day out? And as I asked at the beginning, do you want to get it from heaven or do you want to get it from hell? It's either one or the other. I didn't see another example within this portion of the Word of God, nor in the Bible, to where that behavior comes from. Now, I don't like this verse in the Bible because it's too convicting for me. But this is a verse that I tell myself quite often, and it's in Romans 12:18. And it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, the reason why I don't like that verse is because I don't like the idea that it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you. See, I always want to blame everybody else because isn't it everybody else's fault? It's not my fault. I'm not that way. I'm not that kind of person. But you know what the Bible tells me? Dave, when you have problems with other people, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. The Bible tells me it's my responsibility. The Bible tells me I'm the one who needs to change. The Bible tells me I'm the one who needs an attitude adjustment and maybe a heart transplant in the sense of what Jesus was talking about. It's me. And I know that's where the problem's at. And so I need something to help me, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of His God and the Word of God. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a story of Moses traveling through the wilderness with the children of Israel, and they came to this place called Mar, where the water was bitter. The water was bitter, and because the water was bitter, there was instructions given that you just take the stick and you throw the stick in the water and the water becomes sweet and you can drink it. Nothing could help that water, at least in that situation, except something from the outside coming on the inside to making it better. And you know, I believe that's the only solution for you and me, is that the Spirit of God needs to come from the outside and sweeten our bitter hearts. Needs to take control of our lives, need to take control of our attitudes, need to take control of our motives and change us. But left to ourselves, I'm sorry, I don't think I could do it, at least. I'm not wise enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not that good. Do you know, let's think about this for a minute in all of our lives when it comes to our own family members. I've heard some stories this Christmas, I had to spend X amount of time with these family members. I don't like them. Can you love them? How about just friends that you've had fellowship with? You need help with your relationship, with your friendship. You know, we need to take our faith and put our faith into wise actions. And when it comes to our family, when it comes to our friends, when it comes to our coworkers, when it comes to other people we come in contact with, we have to show forth our HD faith by showing our faith by actions that are pleasing to God. And I personally believe this evaluation is pretty good for telling us where we're at in our life. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that Your Word reveals to us the things that we need. And what's amazing is it reveals to us things that we need when we don't even know we need them. But yet You do. You know our hearts. You know our lives. You know where we're at. You know us better than we know ourselves. And Father, we pray that each one of us this day will take seriously the evaluation of our actions and see if they really do honor and glorify You by the faith of which we have. And we will thank You for what You accomplish in Your time and in Your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
stand with us and sing?
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone.